Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure and have more fun in bed. We use explicit language, and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com and going to the Ask Us Anything page. And while you're at pleasuremechanics.com, please explore our complete suite of instructional videos and online courses that show you how to have more fun in bed and become a better lover. As a listener of Speaking of Sex, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of the video guides of your choice. On today's episode, we are going to be tackling one of the greatest myths that is preventing all of us from enjoying more sexual pleasure and being true to ourselves as erotic beings. Are you ready? This is going to be a good one, and we can't wait to hear your thoughts. We got a question submitted by a listener, and it was actually three questions in one. Very inquisitive, and we are going to just address the first question today. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading the question.
I believe there's a huge difference between masculine and feminine sexual energy, and even homosexual couples should incorporate that difference into their sex life if they want to have great sex. In general, males are suited to be as passionate, fiery, physical, and aggressive as possible during sex, while females are suited to be as calm, quiet, zen-like, and passive as possible. Now, I bet you disagree because you seem to advise each person having sex to combine and share masculine and feminine energies. So, Charlotte and Chris, can you explain what's wrong with what I believe? What am I missing?
Okay. Whew. Well, you're right about one thing, and that's we disagree. But we really appreciate the question, and we appreciate you listening. And I think you are not alone in this idea that there are different masculine and feminine sexual energies, and that the polarity is required for good sex. And this is one place where even a lot of other sex educators and tantra people kind of regurgitate this idea of sexual polarity as the recipe for good sex. And I personally, and we as pleasure mechanics, really disagree with this construction. And we are going to break down why and suggest an alternative model.
Yeah, the idea that women are not suited, quote, to be passionate, fiery, physical, and aggressive just makes me livid. I feel like that is some of the most fun sexual energy to play with, and to be denied that because of my gender makes me angry. It is...
You've got some fire going on now, honey.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a limiting view, this idea that we are innately made to be one way or the other. It's historical, it's cultural, it's not biological, and we're going to dive into that, but it is clear that that idea limits then the behavior that we each get to express and the erotic energy we get to embody and play with. And that is so counter everything I feel like we want to be sharing and opening people up to. That we all have a vast vocabulary that we get to play with in bed, and that it's not prescribed by our gender, that it is available to all of us, and we get to pick and choose what we most want in a particular moment, in a particular relationship, in life.
Totally. And what is so interesting to me is even other sex educators who have a very progressive, sex-positive point of view go on to say this idea that we both have the masculine and feminine within us, and sexual polarity can exist even within homosexual or queer couples. And that idea, I think, is just continuing to reinforce this idea of the duality of masculine and feminine. And so we even disagree with that. I don't think that we all have masculine and feminine within us, and that you need to balance that in your relationship, no matter if you're two men, two women, or a man and a woman. I think we're two human beings, and there's not male sexuality and female sexuality. There is human sexuality. And anything else that is put upon it is a cultural construct. And, you know, Charlotte and I are both sociology majors. And so I just want to, for a moment, touch upon what this idea of cultural construct means. A cultural construct is an idea that is built by culture, but is seen to be natural by those living within it. So our idea of what masculine and feminine is a cultural construct that is specific to your specific culture, but it's so invisible that you see it as normal and natural. And to make this clear, food is another place where cultural constructs are very, very clear. What you believe in your culture is delicious, gourmet food completely depends on your cultural background. And all it takes is a plane ticket to go somewhere else in the world, and you see people eating things that you would never consider eating. But to them, within their cultural construct, it's totally natural. And they would think your food was totally weird. And that applies to so many parts of our life where we don't think about it because it is invisible to us as long as we stay within our own culture. And the ideas of what masculine and feminine mean is a cultural construct. It's historically contingent, meaning it changes over time. And it is culturally contingent, meaning it varies from culture to culture, even within the same country, even within the same city sometimes. You know, we live in a city of only a few thousand people, and there are different cultures represented within our city. So the interesting thing here is that these cultural constructs around gender have become so naturalized that even as we're breaking them down in other areas of our life, other areas of our culture, it stays in the bedroom. And so what we're interested in doing in this podcast and in our lives in general is starting to break down this idea of what feminine and masculine sexuality looks like, just as we've broken it down in the workplace and the family life and other parts of our culture.
So we know that our gender roles have been changing rapidly over the last 100 years. And 100 years ago, it was really clear that women's roles were in the home, was around family life, was domestic. And anything outside of the home was considered masculine. And women were not able to. They didn't have the constitution to be able to do any other kind of work.
Right. Time travel 100 years ago and think about saying a female is going to run for president or even a female doctor or a female lawyer. And
horrifying.
Yes. Horrifying. Not natural. Women are not built for that. That's not their constitution.
It's too taxing for them.
That's unnatural.
Right. And these are really strong ideas. And we know that this, of course, gets carried over to race, right? Where people have used cultural constructions to keep people out of power because, quote unquote, it's natural. And it's a really dangerous and insidious idea that really keeps social control present. And we need to unpack it. And we need to be able to see that for what it is. So we are so comfortable with the idea now of women being doctors. Like, that is just absurd that women would not be able to be doctors.
But think about how quickly that has changed. You know, 50, 100 years is a blip in time, and our understandings of what men and women can do in the workplace have completely transformed. And the same thing is happening in the family life.
Right. So, you know, as we were saying, women are only suited for this kind of role, is what we've historically thought. But now we know that men are taking on being homemakers, they're being at home, they're taking care of the children. And so many men are loving this role.
Even just taking care of a baby, changing a diaper, bathing it. 50 years ago, men didn't change diapers. This is a very recent evolution. So it's not even about being a full stay-at-home dad. It's about participating in childcare at all. And now we see fathers carrying babies around, sharing childcare. and loving it.
Yeah, and getting to have really much more connected relationships to their children. And that has all the joy that men of other generations have not been able to access because they haven't been allowed to participate in that role as fully as they are now.
Right. And so this is a place we really clearly see that if gender roles are not challenged, they constrict us and deny us a part of the experience of being human. Men for generations were denied the experience of bonding with their child because of strict gender roles. Women were denied the experience of leadership and of scientific innovation and of being part of cultural advances in all fields of the workplace. And if we had not challenged these gender roles, our culture would not have advanced in the way it has. And individually, we would not be experiencing the full range of human expression. And so what we're saying is it's time to now take this challenging of gender roles into the bedroom and break down this idea of male sexuality and female sexuality being a strictly defined gendered expression. Because when we do that, we are all more free.
And we're interested in sexual freedom.
Hallelujah. And I would argue that no matter what your philosophical basis is now, you could benefit from the breakdown of these gender roles. And my ultimate goal is to erase the words masculine and feminine from our vocabulary altogether, because I think they're really useless descriptors. Like, what does it mean to say a man is masculine? Like, does that mean he's strong and broad-shouldered? Or does that mean he's really analytical and good at, you know, getting things done? Does it mean he's great with science and math? Or does it mean he's a beautiful writer? The word masculine actually tells us nothing about that individual's specific qualities. And so that's where we're going to go with this. Let's break down now what these ideas traditionally have been about masculine and feminine in the bedroom and reveal how all of those qualities are available to all of us at all times, and sexuality can become a much more individual, authentic expression and a beautiful dynamic dance with your particular lover.
I love the dynamic dance. That's such a beautiful phrase to think about sexuality, or to think about sharing sexuality with a lover.
Well, and that's where we're going, right? Is to this dynamic dance, meaning in your particular circumstance, in your particular relationship, in the particular moment that you are connecting, what is authentic and what do you want to express? So let's start here, because what masculine sexuality and feminine sexuality teach us is that there are specific roles for the man and the woman in bed, and that is what they need to do to be a good lover. So some of the qualities you list are the most classic ones. To be masculine means to be aggressive, active, hard, erect, penetrative. That is the masculine role. To be feminine means to be soft and yielding and passive and receptive, right? And so this sets up the mental image of woman lying on her back with her legs spread, man on top, erect, and penetrating her. That is the image those gendered qualities want us to understand sexuality to be. And this image is a very specific one because heterosexual intercourse in the missionary position was the only sex act condoned by the church for thousands of years because it was reproductive sex. And the church told us that sex was not supposed to be for pleasure or for our own gratification. It was for creating more believers for God. It was for reproduction only, and actually told us that any pleasure we take out of the sex act was a sin. And we have moved beyond this and have started to understand sexuality as a source of pleasure, a source of intimacy, a source of connection, a source of energy, and a source of power that you can tap into in your erotic life. And if you believe that, if you believe sexuality is for something more than reproduction, then you need to move beyond the image of sex as missionary intercourse, because that's what they want you to believe. That's what they want to keep you locked into, to deny you the pleasure and power of your sexuality. And degendering sex is a major part of this mission of pushing sex culture forward to one of more pleasure and connection and health and intimacy for all of us. And so we're inviting you to get on board with changing our conceptions of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman in the bedroom. And this doesn't take away intercourse. No one's going to deny you that kind of fucking. We're all for it. But what it does is it opens up the entire spectrum of erotic expression from this narrow, tiny little window of missionary style intercourse with female pleasure completely ignored and male pleasure totally limited and squashed. And it shakes that all open. It expands it to this huge spectrum of erotic energy and sexual expression that we all now get to play in. Like, what does it mean to be a sexual being now for you authentically with your partner? And that is so much more fun. So just like degendering work roles has opened up so many career paths, and we can all bring our specific gifts and be in the inquiry of, am I better suited to be a lawyer or a doctor or a novel writer or a seamstress? Or what are my particular gifts telling me to do with my unique life? That is an amazing gift for us as a culture, because it means the people who are really cut out to be electrical engineers can go do that. No one would ever want me to build a bridge. Like, I would not cross that bridge. But I can write and I can speak and I can contribute my particular gifts to the world. And degendering the workplace has allowed us to do that. So what does degendering this bedroom, our sex lives, allow us to do? It means we get to have more erotic freedom to express ourselves. So let's pause for a minute on this active, passive, penetrative, receptive, because I think that is at the core. And there's different languages for yin and yang, fire and water. You know, we make up all these metaphors to kind of cover what we're talking about. But really what we're talking about is hard penis goes inside, soft vulva gets penetrated. It's really this specific kind of formula for masculine and feminine.
Right. It's those ideas essentialized into that erotic act. And I just want to, let's look for a minute at a man receiving a blowjob, because I think that is a moment where your ideas about masculine and femininity are upset. Because for a man to lie back and receive the pleasures of a blowjob makes him calm, quiet, zen-like, and passive, which is what you're naming as feminine. So does that mean that you should never get that act? Because she is having to be in an active role. She is having to be passionate, or ideally, and is having some level of aggression or giving. She's being in an active role. So what is that totally off the menu if you believe these so strongly that one has to conform to this idea of masculine and feminine? And of course not, right? You're not going to give up blowjobs for that.
Well, men love blowjobs, I think, because of
this.
They
get to have a moment where they get to be receptive. I think it's essential that we explore all of these energies as we can authentically. But to deny men that experience is a real disservice.
And some women love giving blowjobs because they get to take more control. They get to be more active. They get to seduce their partner. They get to bring that kind of fiery passion into it. And this can happen with any sexual act.
I think a much more useful framework to think about sexual energy in is one of giving and receiving sexual energy, because that is something that we can all participate in. And if we think about the metaphor of having a conversation, we have been in those conversations where sometimes there's a back and forth and you're really sharing ideas equally and there's a kind of energy in it and it's exciting and interesting. We've been in other conversations where one person is really talking and the other person is really listening. And though the other person is quiet, they are fully present. And that really enhances the experience for the talker and for the listener. It's still a really active experience, even though it looks different. And then there's another moment where somebody is just monologuing and talking at you, and you are totally checked out, and it's not interesting, and they don't actually care what you're thinking or if you're present at all. And that's a completely different experience for both people. So these are all really different experiences of sharing energy where...
And so what does that look like in the bedroom?
So we can take that where people are sharing, giving and receiving equally.
Making out, touching and being touched at the same time, rolling around together.
Then giving, where somebody is really giving and the other person is really receiving, can be like giving oral sex, could be giving a massage. Mm-hmm. And then somebody just sort of like talking at you and the other person's checked out can be like a dude fucking a woman who's totally checked out.
Right.
Right? Where it's like there's, it's active and passive, but it's really passive. It's not present.
And I think this is the problem with this setup of male as active, female as passive, and where the female pleasure is nowhere in the equation, is that we actually have a model of sexuality that asks women to check out of their body and basically become a fuckhole for men. And this is not a good equation for anyone. It's not pleasurable for the woman, and it's not as pleasurable for the man as it could be. And this is the cultural legacy we have inherited. That is the kind of sex that generations of people had, and what we are trying to transform into one of more pleasure and connection and intimacy, and ultimately way more fun and more orgasms for everyone.
Yay!
And so I think this is one of the core issues with this model of male as active, female as passive, is that it encourages passivity on the receiver's end, which in this model is the female lying on her back, just taking it without any activity, without any response, without any agenda of her own. And this is not the kind of sex we're encouraging anyone to have. On the other hand, it puts a ton of pressure on the male to be aggressive, to be active, to be hard, and makes that the barometer of his sexual success.
And masculinity.
And masculinity, which then creates so much anxiety around erections. We've talked about this before, we'll talk about it again, but anxiety around staying erect is one of the major contributors to premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction, because men have such an intense anxious complex with staying erect in order to be able to perform. And that has come from this formula of being masculine equals being aggressive equals being hard. So this formula hasn't worked for anyone. It's denying so many of us deeper levels of sexual expression, and it's a very narrow window of what is possible. So that is why we are breaking it down. Our alternative model is all about looking at what different kinds of erotic energies can be expressed, and knowing that they're all available to us at all different points. And so by erotic energies, I'm talking about, what is the energy, what is the intention that is fueling your erotic act? So think about a simple kiss. A kiss can be rough, it can be tender, it can be romantic, it can be playful, it can be dominant, it can be yielding, it can be coy and flirtatious, or super passionate and urgent. All of those are different erotic energies. And so when you think instead of masculine and feminine, when you think instead about what is the balance of giving and receiving? What is the balance of being dominant versus submissive, strong versus yielding, intense versus playful? This invites you to really look for what you authentically want as a sexual being. And that is the way to have a fulfilling sex life. Because this idea of being sexually fulfilled, I think some people have written to me and be like, there's no such thing as sexual satisfaction because it is a hunger that never dies and you can never fully be satisfied. And I just think that's kind of ridiculous. I think there is a point in your life where you can think of yourself as sexually fulfilled. You as a sexual being, your needs are being met, your desires are being met, you have as much sex as you'd like. You don't feel like your sexuality has control over you, that it's kind of out of your reach, and that you're longing for things and yearning for things all the time, and you're feeling denied. So many of us are so used to feeling sexually frustrated that we think that's what's normal. And I think sexuality instead can be a really positive, healthy part of your life that's in balance. Again, we'll use a food metaphor. You know, if you are fulfilled in your relationship with food, you eat what you want. You don't eat too much. You don't eat too little. You eat to nourish yourself. You eat what you like, and you can say no to what you don't like, and you know the difference. There's a way to have a very healthy relationship with food where it's a source of great pleasure and nourishment, but you're not in a disorder with it. And I think so many of us relate to our sexuality, you know, in this kind of fasting and binging model where, you know, it's so scarce, but then when you have it, you just want to gobble it all up and you don't even take the time to taste it. I could go on, and maybe we should do a whole food metaphor podcast episode because there's so many of them. But I think there is a place where you feel sexually fulfilled, and that is our invitation. And that's what we want to try to guide you in, is how to feel more sexually fulfilled so your sexuality becomes a source of energy and pleasure for you and not a source of struggle.
So one pathway to erotic fulfillment and sexual satisfaction is around getting to really know yourself as an erotic being. Just like it's important to know if you would be better suited to be an engineer or an artist, getting to know what kind of erotic energies you love and find fulfilling and enjoy is part of the work that you have to do on your own to begin to even find a pathway to your own erotic fulfillment. Then the next step is to notice and figure out what are the kinds of erotic energies that you and your lover like to share together, because each partnership really brings out different qualities in each of us. And this is something that you will notice if you've had more than one partner. It's incredible the different energies that people bring out in you, because we each have so many different facets. I'm thinking of an artist's palette, and there are so many different colors, and each partner really brings out the different colors in each of us. We can mix the colors and create all sorts of different hues and shades, and that is part of the beauty. And then the third step is to really notice in each erotic encounter what you individually and you both feel like expressing in that particular moment. If somebody is tired and has had a long day, they might like nothing better than to lie back and receive a massage and a blowjob. Or if someone's feeling really pent up, they might want to be really aggressive and rough and playful. And it's so important to give ourselves the freedom to be able to be responsive and creative and evocative in that moment, instead of relying on, I am a man and you are a woman, and this means this is what we're going to do in bed each and every freaking time. How boring is that?
No wonder people are bored with their sex life.
Right, when you have a really limited palette, and you're doing the same thing again and again, like, it's going to be boring. And we are richer people.
To stick with your painting metaphor, it's almost like having 1,000 copies of the same paint by numbers and 3 colors. And every time you go in bed, you fill in the paint by numbers in the same way and make the same image. How boring is that? Versus having a blank piece of paper that is your erotic experience today, and having a palette of colors and maybe even some multimedia, glitter and yarn, and coming together and expressing your authentic sexual desires in that moment. And every single time you make love, you create a different piece of art, way more interesting. And so I think that's a really actually useful metaphor to think about. You know, what are you wanting right now? What does your body need? What do you need mentally? And then using sex as a way of creating that expression and experience together that gives you what you need. And in some moments, that's going to be a beautiful, quiet massage with tranquil music playing, and then cuddling and going to sleep together. And in other moments, that might be a fiery, rough, erotic spanking where you're yelling and screaming and clawing at one another. That might be what is authentic for you in that moment. And those can both coexist within the same relationship. and they can both coexist, no matter if it's two men, two women, man and woman, whoever knows. It has nothing to do with your gender and your genitals. It has to do with what you want as an erotic being and then giving that to one another and meeting where your desires overlap. And that is so much more interesting to me than man is hard and penetrates passive vagina. Given the two options, which do you choose?
Not to say, again, that you can't include, of course, penetrative sex as part of this. Like, we're not taking that off the menu. It's just
but
having it being a
different
context. Right. And I would hate to deny men pegging experiences or any kind of anal play or...
But even thinking about penis-vagina intercourse. Is she relaxed and has had multiple orgasms and is just lying and trance-like and moving her hips and being fucked and in this beautiful kind of sensual experience? Or is she on top riding, being super active, slapping his chest and clawing him with her nails and riding for her own pleasure and is fiery as hell, right? Those are different expressions of the same sex act. So we have erotic energies, we have a huge range of sex acts and ways we can touch one another, and you blend it all together in your custom mix, in your beautiful expression of art, each time. And that is the path to sexual fulfillment. Because when you come home and you're tired and all you want is to be held and given a great butt massage while your lover strokes your hair with his other hand and is just nurturing you, and you get that, you are fulfilled as you drift off to sleep. If you're on vacation and are feeling really romantic and you want to eye gaze and tell each other how much you love one another and how grateful you are for the past 10 years, and that's what you ask for and that's what you get, you're fulfilled when you get on the plane ride home, right? Fulfillment comes from knowing what you want, asking for it, and then getting it. That is what is fulfilling. Like when you go to a restaurant and you say, I want a steak, medium rare, with beautiful fries on the side, and that's what is put in front of you and you eat it, you leave happy. So we hope we have answered your question a little bit about what is wrong, what you are missing with this very formulaic, traditional gendering of sexual roles. I think it's a lot like asking what is wrong with thinking that women should just be at home and not in the workplace. I think it's a lot like asking what is wrong with women doing all the childcare and men not engaging with children until they're 8 years old.
And taking care of the money and the woman getting an allowance.
Right. What is wrong with these constructions that rely so much on gender is that they limit our human experience, they limit our expression, and they limit our freedom. And they are cultural constructions, and just like they are built, they can be taken down and rebuilt in a new image for a new generation and a new idea of what culture should look like. And this is what moves human culture forward, is we question what we think is natural. And this, for me personally, is one of the most fun parts of being human and being alive and being in the time we're in, is that we have so much freedom to look at what is traditional and question it and ask, is it really serving us as a culture, as a people, or is it limiting us? Is it built to keep us down and oppress us? And in so many areas of our culture, the time is ripe for innovation and for changing cultural norms towards a more equal future, a healthier future, a happier future for all of us. And this happens in the bedroom just like it happens in any other field of our human culture. And so much of what we're about at Pleasure Mechanics is building a healthier, happier, more orgasmic sex culture for all of us. And so if you want to be part of that, we need to start looking at how we're gendering sex roles and break that down into a more free expression for everyone.
Beautifully said.
If you have anything to say about this episode, we would love to hear it. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and ask us anything. Let us know your feelings. Or better yet, join the Pleasure Mechanics community, which is now growing rapidly and conversations are heating up. It is our private members-only website where we have honest conversations with one another as members of the community about every topic we cover on this podcast and at pleasuremechanics.com. And you can find out all about that and join the community today at pleasuremechanics.com/community. We would love to see you on the inside.
Thank you so much for this question. Please feel free to keep the questions coming. We love having these sorts of conversations with you. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to leave a rating on iTunes. It helps other people find out about the show. And you're doing your part to make the world a sexier, more pleasurable place.
Mm-hmm.
And come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, where we have videos and courses that have proven techniques so that you can have more fun in bed and become a better lover. And remember, you can use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of our videos and courses. We are here to guide you every step of the way in creating the amazing sex life you deserve. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.